Sometimes it feels like the news is full of things that have never happened before. And that is not exactly true. In fact, it may have happened this very week, hundreds or thousands of years ago. I'm Sally Helm, host of the podcast History This Week from the History Channel. Trade embargoes? Thomas Jefferson tried them. Rent too high? We've been arguing about that for a while. Each episode is proof. The past isn't that far away. Listen to History This Week, available now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm going to go out on a limb and say summer days don't get any better than this. It is gorgeous today. Big day, Pride, Loring Park, Pride weekend here in the Twin Cities of Minneapolis, St. Paul. The parade is tomorrow. Great weather for that. Great weather for anything, really, you're doing outside. I got a bunch of yard work done early. It was just lovely. I know the heat and humidity settles in. We'll worry about that. But just enjoy a great day. And it'll be a great day out at Hazeltine. Major on the own PGA Tour is in town. It's the women's PGA. And the leaders are now on the course in the third round. And We'll check that leaderboard as we go through today. And U.S. Open champ and huge fan favorite, Nelly Korda, right in the mix in a tie for third right now at 8 under par. So we'll keep an eye on that through the day. Scotty leading at the Travelers Championship on the PGA Tour. Twins in Colorado, are they going to play another wild one? Lindsey Brown, I don't know if you caught any of the game at all last night or heard about this, but the Twins had a 7-0 lead going into the eighth. Colorado grabbed an 8-7 lead, and the Twins win it 9-8 in 10 innings.
My goodness.
It was insane.
Yeah, I was not plugged into that. I was plugged in. My TikTok algorithm was serving me the Dodgers catcher that's been messing up and telling Shohei Ohtani what to do. That's what I was being fed. So I missed a good one.
I like you just flat out admit you're being fed. And
it is what it is.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. You know, as long as we understand where we're at and that we are being fed most of the time. But through my own free will, I tuned into the ball game, and you never know what you're going to see. There's a saying, you never know what you're going to see when you go to the ballpark, and Friday night was a great example. The Twins, once again, up 7-0 going into the eighth against the worst team in the major leagues. They have fewer wins than any other team in the majors. And they scored 3 in the 8th, 5 in an ugly 9th to lead it, as I mentioned, 8-7. Twins get a run in the bottom of the 9th to force extras and then win it 9-8 in 10 innings. So a win is a win is a win, we've been told. And they turn the page and will play again tonight at Target Field, and we'll have more on that later on in the program. Doug Swinhart coming up in just a bit. So, computer issues, and I've got a story to tell right at the beginning of the show, and Doug's going to get a kick out of it. And, Lindsay, you probably get these as well through your Odyssey email, and I do. I got burned by Odyssey IT. They caught me.
No.
I clicked on something.
No.
Yeah.
No.
They fed me something.
You've compromised the entire operation with one fell click.
Well, I took the bait.
Yep.
I took the bait. Oh. Now, fortunately, it was an Odyssey test, and I failed miserably. So I had to go through some additional training and take a quiz.
Oh, no,
and promise,
there are repercussions?
I promise I would never do it again, which is really good, but we're going to get into that. Now, have you been burned by anything like that?
Not for a long time. I have gotten a couple emails where I see it in the address, like their email address is wonky, and then I screenshot it, I delete it, and then I send it to IT. So I wonder if I'm on the opposite end of the spectrum where I may be IT's favorite.
Yeah, you're good. And
I'm good, you're not.
I am out in the dilapidated doghouse in the backyard with the leaky roof. I got burned. And a week ago on the program, we were preaching about it. But it was so well done. They led me into the trap, and they got me. And, you know, they got me. And so I had to go through all of this, like I say, watch a video, take a quiz, and we'll share that in more detail in a moment on Tech Talk. So just to make clear, Lindsay's doing the right thing when it comes to IT stuff.
I'm the favorite.
And I'm doing the wrong
thing. And you're the black sheep.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Now I've got to make amends.
You do.
Now I better fly right. And here's the thing. Generally, I am so skeptical of all of that stuff. But what they did to rope me in was just, I gotta click on this.
You're teasing this so hard right now because I want to know.
Yeah.
What wet your whistle on this? What caused you to be like, I gotta do it?
It was just it was bait, and it was like a chunk of medium rare filet mignon,
and a really good sear. Right, you're throwing the butter on it.
Exactly.
You're basting the butter. Oh.
Yeah. The bait that reeled me in, this was so good. It was medium rare filet mignon. That's the only thing I can compare it to. We'll get into it in a moment with Doug on Tech Talk here on News Talk 830-WCCO.
Every week on the Moth Podcast, you'll hear true stories that will intrigue you, inspire you, and make you laugh.
He said, is there anything and your diet that might be spiking your blood sugar? I said, sometimes I eat pizza until I'm unconscious. He said, I think that might be it.
For real stories live on stage from comedians, astronauts, accountants, farmers, and people just like you, follow and listen to The Moth wherever you get your podcasts.
Tech Talk underway on a lovely Saturday. So if you're around your computer, or have worries about your computer or hardware, software, whatever, feel free to call the program. And our number is, as always, 651-461-9226. And that is good for a call or a text. Any of our programs during the week, the morning news with Vanita, you've got Adam and Jordana, Chad Hartman, Drive Time with Darusha, The Lake Show with Henry and Chris. 651-461-9226. 651-461-9226. And Doug, maybe you heard our chat before the break and we got started today. Mm-hmm. I got burned. Odyssey IT, they roped me in and they got me to take the bait. And once again, it was an email. It looked like it was an email from Odyssey. And the email was very clever because it said, hey, Steve, a listener left you a voicemail. Would you like to hear it? And I'm like, I'm curious because it could be one of two things. It was something complimentary or it was something negative. It was good or bad. But
there's no in between of those.
Yeah, and I'm naturally curious, and after being in the business all these years, you get a thick skin. So if someone, you know, calls in and leaves a voicemail and they say they hate my guts, you know, so be it. But I was curious, and I wanted to hear it. And I clicked on it, and it was ding, 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 we got you. We burned you, and we need you to do a couple of things. Watch this video and take a little quiz. So it was a training thing. Now, here's what's good about it. It didn't involve a real attack. It wasn't a real phishing trip. That's phishing with a P. It was a test, and I failed. And the good news is I was able to go back, once again watch a video, take a quiz. But a lot of users don't have that luxury and don't have a company sending out stuff and retraining and so on and so forth. I got burned. It was very well done. But in the training, they pointed out all the things to look for in that email. Number one, Odyssey was misspelled in the URL. There were other signs that you and I have talked about for years. And we just want to remind people, and we kind of did a deep dive a week ago, and it's extremely important because I got burned this week and went through retraining. Now, if it wasn't a training exercise, that could have been really bad news. And
yeah.
When you fail that, you can let someone in, it can be really bad news for your data, your computer, etc.
It can. And generally, lately, it has to do with ransomware. They'll go in and they'll encrypt all your data, and then they will double the amount of money until you just give in, or hopefully you got a backup.
Yeah.
But that's going to probably require the newer ransomware. A lot of times it requires stripping that machine down to absolutely bare metal on the drive and reinstalling everything.
Yeah.
It's, you might save some money, but you're going to spend some time rebuilding.
Yeah. So the reminder right at the top of the show, and we brought it up a week ago, if you're not absolutely sure, and here it was something that looked like it came from corporate. Corporate, WCCO Radio.
They did have that in the URL?
Yeah, but it was spelled wrong, and I didn't know that.
That's tricky.
Yeah, so, but it's a good exercise because it shows how clever not only IT departments can be for training purposes, but believe me, the bad guys are clever as well and can rope you in and get you to take that bait. And for an individual computer, that's a bummer. Ransomware, et cetera, your data can be lost. But it can be far beyond that. They could access other things that are important to you, and that's by no means good. And then if it's a work computer, it's even worse because that would could impact the entire organization, and you
absolutely
don't want that.
Absolutely. Yeah, it's too bad they didn't use your Proton mail with that. Proton would have caught it. Isn't that lovely?
Yeah, and the thing is it came into my company email, which we use Google, so it came into my work Gmail account, if you will. Now you're right, I could have that routed into Proton, and you're saying Proton may have caught that.
Oh, I know it would have, but here's the thing. Yeah, you really don't want to be bringing your business into your personal. You really can't do that. If it came to a work email address, you really got to take it. I mean, you can't go behind the system administrator's back. I mean, they're just watching far too many things.
Yeah,
I'm really glad that this turned out well.
Well, it
could have been a nightmare.
It was retraining, and the reason I bring it up. And a lot of people don't want to admit mistakes or, they did something wrong. Mm-hmm. I clearly made a mistake, but fortunately, it was just a training exercise. And I thought it was very important to share it on the air because it could help someone. And we've said it often on this program. If you're not absolutely positively sure who the email came from and the attachment, tread very lightly.
Well, it's like that one I almost jumped into about a year ago, and it came from Apple. And I'm going, oh, well, you follow this thing, and this thing is leading you right down the path. We're going to call you in a couple of days because you got this going on, and we want to sell you something. Well, that's up front, right? The phone call comes in, and within minutes, this guy says, well, I'd like to take control of your computer. I said, no.
Oh.
Well, I can take control of your phone. I said, no. Yeah, the last thing I want you in is my phone, for God's sake. Yeah, you get that EMI number, that IME number. Well, you own my whole life. No. And I've come to the conclusion, when people want your cell phone number, tell them you don't have one.
Yeah.
I'm not going to give it out anymore. It's actually more important that ID number in your phone, you know, identifying you and me and all of us, that's become more important than your Social Security number. Honest to God, I swear that that's the truth. Yeah. So I don't give it out anymore.
Well, and here's the thing. I think cell phone numbers are probably floating around out there because I get plenty of spam calls and texts and so on and so forth. But your phone and that device is now generally the portal for all sorts of dual authentication. You know, I can't get at my bank or credit cards without that dual authentication. And typically, now you can send it to an email account for sure, but it's much easier to have that code sent to your phone. Usually six digits, sometimes an 8-digit code. So your phone is kind of becoming the keystone to all of this security.
No doubt. Now, I'm going to throw out another plug here, see if that's okay.
Sure.
I'm going to encourage you to go to Proton and download the software authenticator. Oh, this thing is sweet. Different websites will have you go through different steps to get it connected. Once you're connected, they don't even ask you for a password anymore.
Yeah,
and it will connect to your computers. It will and sync, and it will connect to your phone. So no matter where you are, you've got it. You just open it up, and as soon as it's open, I jump into CVS. I jump into Health Partners. I jump into my bank and credit card. It's just instant. It's like almost like going back 20 years.
Yeah,
I'm going to encourage you. And it's free. You can download it for free.
Yeah, and once again, we've talked about Gmail and Gmail accounts, and it's almost mandatory. If you have a Chromebook, you need a Gmail account. That's just the way it is. But Proton has become a very nice alternative. You've talked about it for a while. I do have a Proton account, and you can get into it for free and play around with it. And it could be a good option for folks.
Well, now, Google has an authenticator, too, but I didn't care for how it's all tied together with all the other nonsense with Workspace. It works well, and I'm sure you get used to it, but the one from Proton, it's just simple. It really doesn't even tie together with Proton Password Manager unless you want it to, and the only thing it does there, because they want them separate. If somebody gets into one, they can't get into the other, and that authenticator is just wonderful. And even if they got into my password manager, which would be literally impossible, I got a 6-digit code that I got to put in to get into that at my desktop. But if they get into that, they still can't get into my authenticator. And they kept it separate on purpose. I first started, I went, well, why didn't you put them together? Believe it. Well, it would be easier for you, but it'd be easier for the bad guys, too. Oh. So I got used to it. I really like it. I really do. And Microsoft has authenticators. Apple's got authenticators. Okay. You don't really need to have one of them little keys that you put in your pocket and get lost. And, in fact, I came to the conclusion with these YubiKeys. I don't know these people. I don't know who they've hired. I don't know if they're paying their people. The less people I've got involved in this, the better off we are. Wouldn't you agree?
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. I think some of the available tools, but Proton... I've really enjoyed it. I've used it for very limited right now. I think, and I've mentioned this before on the show, that ultimately the goal is to make Proton my primary private email. And one other thing we brought up on the show, and I want to make sure, and we brought this up, and by the way, our shows are available in podcast form at WCCRadio.com. All our shows, a lot of great material. Here is a key, and you touched on a little bit earlier, keeping private email and work email 100% separate. That mixing the two is not a good thing. You have your private correspondence, bank accounts, emails to friends, family, etc. And then you have work. And you have your work email. Keeping those two separate, in my opinion, imperative.
Well, you know, Nancy's getting ready to retire pretty soon, and she's really been pretty good about keeping the two separate. But on occasion, she'll say, well, just send it to my work email. I'll have it. Well, now all of a sudden, she's looking, and she, oh, I got to get these separate. I said, well, you don't have much. You don't have as much as a lot of people, but you got to get that done before you even consider leaving. You have to. You just have to. And I think they're going to probably have her working part-time till she's 95, the way it looks. I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah. They want to keep the good ones, and I'm sure they want to keep her on the team. Now, Doug, my wife works for a public school district here in the metro area, and she works in technology. So she deals with the Chromebooks and the iPads and so on the special ed side. But when an educator or an employee leaves, and these people, over time, that district-issued laptop became their full-time computer, oh, boy.
Yeah.
It is a lot to unwind.
Oh, it can be enormous.
Yeah.
You know, and even for somebody that knows how to sort and selectively take what is different, it's just time-consuming.
Right.
I don't care how good you are. It's just a lot of data to go through.
Well, and not only that, I think a red flag, and this is another one we've talked about, if you have a work computer and start pulling stuff off of that or making copies, that raises red flags. So if you are in that situation, you want to alert IT, your IT department or your IT contractor, and tell them what the situation is so they can assist. They'd much rather be involved than just see someone copying and pasting a bunch of stuff out of a work computer. That is not a good thing.
It's going to set off all kinds of alerts on a good network. And these people are going to be knocking on their doors saying, what are you doing?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, not a good thing. Quick break. No. We're going to go to the text line. And we've got a lot of those piling up. And some very good ones. Someone's got a brand new computer. We'll get into that. And accessing emails on the new computer. An iPhone went in the water. What to do, what not to do. And by the way, if you want to call and visit with Doug, you can do that as well. 651-461-9226. 651-461-9226. It's Tech Talk with Doug on a lovely Saturday here at News Talk 830 WCCO.
Hey, y'all, I'm Maddie.
And I'm Poodle.
And together, we host the podcast Reality Gaze.
We are two ridiculous homosexuals who love nothing more than talking about reality television
and tearing in a new one. So whether it's 90 Day Fiancé, Love is Blind, Love After Lockup, or any other trash TV show about lonely hearts looking for love, your gay besties got you covered, y'all.
New shows every week. Follow and listen to Reality Gaze wherever you get your podcast. Reality
Gaze, let's love!
It is Tech Talk. Steve Thompson, Doug Swindahart, our producer is Lindsey Brown. If you call, you'll visit with Lindsey. She'll put you through. 651-461-9226. If you text, it'll come right into the studio, and we'll get it right on the air. And speaking of the text line, Doug, I was scammed, and the scammer had me install WhatsApp to my Android phone. I uninstalled it. Do I need to buy antivirus for my Android phone? If so, what should I do? The text they sent me was deleted from my phone. So what are the steps?
You know, if they're up to date with their Android, I don't know if it's necessary to have antivirus or not, and I don't know if it would help with this. This is more of a phishing exercise. You know, the PH phishing. I don't think it would. I'd be real leery about what apps you're adding to that phone. The longer I'm on smartphones and the more experience I get with these, that's where the trouble begins. If you don't know where that app's coming from, sometimes even if you do know where it's coming from, it can be a problem. But when you are limited to how many you got on there, and until it's been on your phone for, I don't know, 4 or 5 months, and you can trust it now, that's, I think, where the most of this is coming from. I would say if his phone is running, and especially like if he's got a T-Mobile account or one of the big carriers, they really watch our phones quite well. They're taking a lot more responsibility for keeping our phones clean than what they want to admit, but I know they are. I would actually call the carrier. If it's T-Mobile, I doubt that they have a problem. This was a Samsung phone, or this was a Pixel?
Yeah, they said it was just an Android phone, didn't give the brand in the text.
Yeah, that will make a difference, too, because, you know, Samsung does a good job of keeping them clean as well. Most of these people don't want to have problems, but there's some cheaper phones out there that, even though they're Android, they're...
Uh-oh. Doug dropped out.
Not ideal.
Yeah, not ideal. I think he's back.
Am I back?
Yeah. So Doug, when it comes to this, you brought up something that is really important, and that is apps. Depending on where you get these apps, I wouldn't be willing to take every app that's pitched to you. For sure, I would stick to the main roads when it comes to apps. Another big one I get leery of, QR codes. You get in the habit of everything's got a QR code. Scan this QR code. My daughter and I were walking in downtown Anoka to get a cup of coffee and buy a book a couple of weeks ago, and there was a sign on a post on the street, and it's not important what the subject was, but it was one of those that said, let's say it was a lost cat. It wasn't that. And it had a QR code. I wonder how many people walked by and scanned that QR code. That is another portal that, unless you're very sure or trust the person putting out the QR code, I would tread very lightly. I wouldn't go.
Yeah, I don't like them.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, and it was when they first started coming out where people were using them with their computers. In England, they were getting these QR codes in the mail, and they looked official. They were from the Royal Mail, and they're all kinds of their utilities, and scan this in, and you'll get this and this and this and this and this, all free. These were some of the worst hackers on the planet for almost 2 months. So, and the problem with this is there's no way to verify it. I look at this, and there's no way to read that unless you have the actual reader, and you still got to know what the format of that code is, just like a file format.
Yeah.
I really shy away from them, unless I absolutely have to. There's a couple of pay channels that we have to use to re-log in. I just don't like them. I really don't. They could give me a web address, a URL, and I'd go sit on my computer, and I'd pop it in. But these QR codes, they really are. I think they're borderline, should be outlawed, almost. If I had my way, perfect world, if we were kings, we'd have the whole world fixed, Steve, you know that.
Yeah, so if you, the bottom line is if you see a QR code on a post on a street, you may not want to scan that. And I didn't, and my daughter didn't either. And on that trip, we both got a book. And we both got a fine cup of coffee, and we didn't scan the QR code. So that worked out pretty well. All right, from our text line as well, it's 651-461-9226. This has happened if you've owned a phone, iPhone, Android, whatever. You or someone you know has dropped it in the water, in a pool, in a toilet, in the tub, in a sink, whatever. It is a bad feeling. Doug, is there any surefire way to dry that out and save the device?
You know, I shut it off immediately if it happens to be running when you pull it out of the lake or wherever. And I would put it into popcorn as fast as I could, just unpop popcorn, and leave it there until you can make an appointment at the Apple store. I would not touch it.
Yeah, I haven't heard popcorn. 9 times out of 10. I haven't heard popcorn. I've heard rice.
Or either one. Yep, either one. Popcorn works good, too. But, yeah, rice is good, too. Either one. But make sure that, because it's going to absorb as much as it can. But there's, if you don't turn it on, they will take it apart, and they will nice and dry it out, and they'll test it for you. And you probably can watch them. And it probably will pop back on just fine.
Here's what I don't understand. In 2026, here it is, the middle of 2026, smartphones have been around a long, long time. Mm-hmm. Why don't they make these things waterproof? I mean, come on. I know the speakers, if the speakers got wet, no big deal. There's got to be a way to make these waterproof. Now, I'm not saying drop them in the Marianas Trench and let them go down to 36,000 feet. But in a sink, a toilet, a tub, a pool, a puddle, what have you, they should be more water resistant than they are, in my opinion.
But absolutely,
yeah,
no doubt about it. This is I wish they would too. But you got to remember, they did that for the Apple Watches. You know, you can wash your hands with an Apple Watch and. It knows you're washing your hands, and it's got this little dry feature. I don't know why they don't do that with phones. That's a good point.
The watch probably tells you you didn't wash your hands long enough.
That's right. That's exactly what it does. Or you didn't have the water hot enough. It likes that.
Exactly. Yeah, you didn't do a good enough job. Do it again.
Well, they time you.
Well, and I think that gets into kind of the planned obsolescence. That if they were waterproof and indestructible, who would need a new phone? I think maybe I answered my own question there. From our text line, Doug, I have a new computer with Outlook, and I use a CenturyLink for Wi-Fi. I cannot get online to receive email. I have a working line. And I have to go to send receive to get my emails. So you need to do the manual send receive on all of this. Doug, what's going on?
Are they using a browser?
Well, it sounds like Outlook. So it may not be web based.
Oh, they definitely want to be web based, right? Yeah, browsers will do that too if you don't have it set up right in the settings. I prefer that, actually. I got mine set up so it is manual. Otherwise, it's taking up all kinds of bandwidth all day long for really no reason. If I want looking for an email, I just reach up and hit the little circle and pops right in. When I get done publishing one, it sends automatically. You shouldn't have to do that. The send thing's got me going. I would like to know what they're using to get their mail. I think there's some type of software. And if it isn't in the settings, then get something else. There's all kinds of email programs out there.
Doug, by the way, we'll have your phone number and email if someone wants to reach out to you and talk more about that. We have discussed Outlook in the past. Mm-hmm. I've had it. It's been work-related in the past. I don't have to deal with it now. I prefer pure web-based email. Outlook and some of the things associated with it, I just haven't been a fan. I know some people like it. I haven't over the years. Maybe Doug's not there. We'll take a break. We'll come back. We'll get into that in more detail. By the way, you can text the program 651-461-9226. You can call the program. By the way, my last three Apple phones have been waterproof. Really? I got a 13. I'm not aware that it's waterproof, but then again, I haven't dropped it in a body of water as well to find out. 651-461-9226. Here at News Talk, 830-WCCO. All right, we were talking about Android phones, iPhones being waterproof.
Yeah.
And Someone sent in a text, said, last three Apple phones have been waterproof. I just dropped mine in a tub this week, and I've had it in my pocket in the pool. I got to investigate that. I think water resistant.
Yeah.
I'm going for a swim. I don't know.
Or in the shower? No way.
Yeah, nope. I don't know. We'll look into that more. I'm not saying you're not telling the truth that you weren't in the pool with your phone and it worked fine. It's just not been my experience. But then again, I haven't had mine in the pool or in the shower or in a tub. So
why take the
chance? I don't want to try.
Why take the chance?
Yeah.
That just doesn't make sense to me.
Here's
another
one. I know
they're water resistant. They say they are, but I'm even though we're getting them for free, that's a $1,000 phone.
No, it isn't free.
You know what I'm talking about. The marketing thing.
Yeah, once we got all our phones paid on our AT&T bill, it was amazing. Mm-hmm. Number one, how quickly they said, you can upgrade. You need a new phone. And how much our phone bill dropped.
Mm-hmm.
It was extraordinary. All right, Doug, there's one I really want to get in before we run out of time. Someone has a 2016 MacBook Pro that's been great, but yesterday I turned it on and the screen was completely black. And it seems that the backlighting issue, there's a trouble with the monitor. This is what I'll say. If it indeed is the monitor on a MacBook Pro, that 2016 still probably has some life in it, and it's probably worth to get that monitor repaired in that laptop.
Oh, absolutely. It was the display on the laptop. And, in fact, I would go to iFixit and see if they could do it themselves. They'll even guide them to where to buy it. But I would check around. Amazon has been doing a great job with displays. If you go to eBay, there are several places that have warehouses on the East Coast and West Coast. And if you're buying out of one of those warehouses, you're getting a tremendous value. What they've done, they've shipped all their product there and they don't have to pay for storage. Well, the deal that they have with the warehouse guy is, well, when they're out of warranty, whatever you have, you own. Yeah. So this is brand new factory equipment. And I think the last display I got for a Mac, I think, was $70.
Yeah.
And like I say, iFixit will give you step-by-step instructions, and they'll give you a warning. Don't over-tighten this. Do this. Watch out for this little piece here. People add to these little instructions over time. And a 2016, I can almost guarantee it's in there.
Yeah.
Just iFixit.com and go find your exact machine or something close. And see if you can do it before you go take it in for a repair. Now, if you're squeamish about that, anybody that's working on phones can repair that display.
Yeah, I think so. And a local shop would be able to take that on and get it going. In a 2016, there's still life in it. I would get a bid from a local shop on that if you don't want to fool around and take it apart and try to DIY. Approach on that.
I wouldn't even be afraid to take it to the Apple store. Rumor has it that they've dropped their prices.
Yeah.
So I would give them a shot, too.
One other follow-up to that to close out the show, and we'll certainly be out of time. We've only got a little over a minute. And that is, if they're in a market for new and want to get a new MacBook Pro or, something in the 2023 range in the last few years, these folks are a great candidate for a factory refurb.
Absolutely.
You are going to find a screaming deal if you're not afraid. Apple factory refurbs, in my opinion, are the way to go, especially on something where, MacBook Pros are not cheap.
And they're a beautiful machine.
Yeah.
Yeah, I would agree. And you can get the renewed at Amazon, and they've got refurbs at eBay, but I would prefer to buy it right straight from Apple. I think you even get, Apple Care for a year or two with that.
Absolutely.
Yeah, so it really is the way to go.
Yeah, but I wouldn't give up on that one. I think someone at a local shop could repair that relatively affordably. And refurbs, when it comes to Apple equipment, Apple, genuine Apple refurb, certainly a good way to go. Doug, how do people reach you? I know we got a Twins game next week in New York. Noah's show next week. We'll do it again later in July. What's your phone number and email?
Thank you. 651-552-9543 and admin at WCCOTech.com. WCCOTech.com. 651-552-9543. Have a good week, Steve, and thank you so much.
Yeah, Doug, have a great 4th. Always good to visit with Doug Swindard here on Tech Talk. And a friendly reminder, all our shows are available in podcast format, the website WCCORadio.com. You can listen anytime. You can share those. We'd be much obliged if you did. We have the news and weather coming up next at 4. And then we'll go outdoors with Steve Carney on CCO.
I'm Anna Garcia, host of True Crime News, the podcast. Every week, we bring you in-depth coverage on cases making headlines, as well as those that go under the radar. Tune in for Murders That Defy Explanation, Mystery Seeking Exploration, and Shocking Secrets That Will Leave You Breathless. Each week, we honor the victims by going beyond the salacious in our search for justice. Crime never stops, and neither do we. Listen to True Crime News, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.